Now, when seeking a review of their case, refugees and asylum seekers with legal representation are unsurprisingly much more likely to succeed than those without legal representation. But new data has revealed they are 7 times more likely to succeed. And additionally, those from certain countries are more likely to succeed over others. This new data has revealed the factors that really do matter when getting a case reviewed by the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, or AAT, and it is surprising to say the least. This morning, we are now joined by Daniel Gezelbash, an associate professor at Macquarie's Law School, to unpack what factors really matter and the significance of this research. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Now, to start off, what's the process for having someone's visa reviewed and approved?
So it's quite complex, and it varies based on how you arrive in Australia. So the data that we're referring to here is for people that arrive by plane and subsequently apply for asylum. And this is like the gold standard system we have, because the system for boat arrivals is different. It actually has much fewer safeguards in it. But for plane arrivals, your case is initially assessed by a employee of the Department of Immigration, which is part of the Department of Home Affairs. And then if you're unsuccessful, then you have a chance to have the decision remade at the tribunal. So they pretty much remake the decision from scratch, looking at all the evidence. And then if you fail again, then your last port of call is judicial review in the courts, but they can only intervene on very narrow grounds where there's been some sort of serious legal error.
And how can the nature of how you arrive in Australia affect your chance, or should I say the kind of review that you can access?
Yes, yeah, so look, we've made a very deliberate choice over the years in Australia, or the Australian government has, to make it more difficult for people who arrive by boat to be able to access protection. Based on a view that they're somehow less deserving or need to be targeted for deterrence measures in a greater way than plane arrivals. And in the current system, I mean, if you arrive by boat, you can't get to, it's very difficult to arrive by boat now because you get intercepted at sea or you get taken to Nauru for offshore processing. But the people that did arrive before those policies came into place have a sort of fast-track system applied to them. So if they get refused at the first instance, they only have access to review it at a separate tribunal, not the AAT, where the procedural rights are much more narrow and there's no opportunity to actually meet the decision-maker or have an interview to put your case.
Right.
It's all done on the papers.
And when it comes to these reviews, as mentioned before when I was introducing this, there are a lot of factors that influence the success rate. So I'm quite surprised that the country of origin is a factor, and also whether you have legal representation or not. What factors did you find in your research?
Yes, I guess one of the most striking was the importance of legal representation. And anyone who's worked in this area, anecdotally, knew the importance of what a big difference it makes when a refugee has a legal representation. It's an incredibly complicated system. You have to articulate your terms your claims in a very specific way to meet the criteria we have for identifying who meets the requirements of protection, who does not. And so this really validates that sort of anecdotal view. And I mean, it was 7 times more likely to have your claim accepted. So it's a huge discrepancy.
7 times. And that's a major factor because legal representation can be costly or hard to find. And there might be barriers such as language barriers where it could be really hard to put your case forward.
No, absolutely. And look, I mean, it also shows, I guess, how short-sighted and damaging the government's policy has been in this area in gradually eroding access to free legal advice for people who can't afford it. And there is still some services available, but they're all none of them are, they have received very little public funding. And so it's all based on the public fundraising from the public, and it's just very hard to meet the demand out there.
It's really quite surprising. It's almost like a system made to not let people, to make it incredibly hard to let people get their review approved. That's really striking. The AAT is seeing some significant delays due to its backlog of cases. What more can be done to improve how the system reviews these cases?
So the simplest thing is to just invest some more resources into the way the system works and to get more quality decision-making capacity at the first instance. So if you get the decision right at the department level, it really eases pressure down the track on the AAT. And some of the stats in our data show that, people from Libya having their cases overturned 91% of the time, or in Afghanistan 84% of the time at review.
My goodness.
So there's something going wrong there at first instance in the way those decisions are being made, and they're putting pressure on further down the track.
What countries are getting through?
So the Libya and Afghanistan have the highest rates of cases being overturned on review at the AAT. Mm-hmm. So Libya's at 91%, Afghanistan at 76%.
Gosh.
And then at the other end is other countries like Ireland and Tonga, which have had 0% success rates, and Taiwan and South Korea with 1%, and there's the Malaysians at 3%. And they're the ones that have been, I guess, most in the media with claims that there may be some organized criminal syndicate encouraging people to make unmeritorious claims.
My goodness. So countries like Tonga and Ireland, they're being denied their visa or approved?
Denied.
Okay.
It's difficult for me to imagine a case getting up from Ireland, but it could be possible. But look, I just want to address these claims made by sections of the media and some politicians these days, that there's some sort of organized rorting going on of the system. There's really not evidence of that out there, particularly of any systemic involvement of organized crime or people smugglers. But the only incentive to make unmeritorious claims is that the fact that the system takes so long to resolve cases, and then people can live and work in the community while it's going on. And if there are concerns about the integrity of the system, the best thing to do is to invest more resources in making decisions quicker.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to keep us up to date. I'm just completely awestruck by that now, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Melanie.